And Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac." You see here that Abraham, a type of God the Father, tells the servant, they make a covenant together, to go and find a wife. That's a type of the Holy Spirit going forth, the servant of the Father, going forth to find a wife for his son. Isaac here, but is a type of Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost comes and knocks on our heart's door with conviction and asks us, will we be saved? Will we trust Christ as our Savior? This morning, we want us to think about this thought. Pitchers of water pots. Let's pray. Father, we ask that You'd bless us this morning to preach with power. We pray You'd help us, Lord, to stand this morning as Your servant. I pray, God, You'd give us the authority of heaven to do so. I pray, God, for everything done in this service and its furtherance, God, that it be of Thee. Lord, I pray You'd lead us and guide us and help us, God, to respond in obedience today. Obedience is better than sacrifice, according to Scripture. And I pray, God, You'd open up our ears and our hearts for understanding and allow us to make application. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This servant of Abraham is sent forth to find a wife for Isaac. And as he goes forth, he comes to verse number 12. He's on his journey looking. And to verse 12, and he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." So Abraham's servant starts praying. He goes on the journey looking for the bride, and he says, "Lord, I don't know which girl to pick. I mean, would you show me which girl it is that I'm supposed to pick to be the wife for Isaac? Which one am I supposed to propose to? Which one am I to speak to?" And he says, "Let it be the one." This is a sign. "Let it be the one that when I ask for a drink, when she's come to the well, that she'll take her pitcher of water and she'll give me to drink, and then she'll voluntarily say, I'm going to give your camels drink also." Now, he's got 10 camels. And camels drink from about 10 to 20-something gallons of water. It's going to be a lot of work if she's going to volunteer to do that on her own free accord. And when I read those scriptures there, you look at your Bible, he never said the word amen, did he? No, he hadn't finished his prayer. He's still a-praying. And while he's still a-praying, guess what? Read on a little further. Out comes a girl named Rebecca. She's got her water pot or her pitcher up on her shoulder. Here she comes. She goes down to the well. When she come in, it was empty. And then back and forth every day. Empty, bring it home full. Go back empty, bring it home full. So she comes, fills up the water pot. The servant, look with me in the Scripture. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in the verse number 15, "It came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out," end of the verse, "with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, I like that, don't you? He ran to meet her. When he ran down there to meet her, he said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my Lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon drink. And when she had done giving me drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. He said, "Lord, I don't know which one to pick." And about that time, here she comes, walking out with her pitcher. She gave him drink. She watered all the camels as well. Abraham, his servant, he comes down here to about verse number 23 and he says, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" She answers that question, brings him back to the house to have a big meal there. In verse 33, there was set up meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told thee mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant." Now, we don't know his name. He doesn't tell his name. He just said, "I'm Abraham's servant. Hey, when the Holy Ghost came to me looking for a bride for Jesus Christ, he didn't say, 'I'm the Holy Ghost.' He came and told me that I was lost. He came and told me about Jesus. He came to tell me about the Father's business." Are you with me? Now, this girl, she's got a water pump. Understand, a pitcher. And he begins to tell the family about Abraham the father. He begins to tell how mightily that Abraham is blessed. How rich he is. What a great man he is. What substance he's got. And then he said, "You know, I want to tell you about a miraculous birth. He's got a boy named Isaac. They couldn't have children for years. God had promised them they'd have a child. And when Abraham was 100, miraculously, he and his wife had a child. His wife was 90. Imagine that. Now, my grandma and grandpa was here for a wedding yesterday. He's 92. She's 88. And I looked over at Ken and I said, "Imagine if they told us that they was going to have a child. My teeth would fall out." But I guess grandpa's too young. He's just 92. Abraham was 100 when he had this promised child. And certainly, as the family's listening and Rebecca's listening, they're amazed at such a miracle that could take place. Then he says, and I want to tell you what happened. The Lord told him to take his son, his only son, up to Mount Moriah and offer him there as a sacrifice unto God. And Abraham didn't stagger at the promise. He took that boy up the mountain and he said, "We'll come back after we've worshipped up there." And he laid the wood on that boy and they went up to the top of the mountain. And the boy said to the father, he said, "Well, where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Here's the knife and here's the wood." And as the father said, "My son, God shall provide himself a lamb." When they got up there, he drew back the knife to get ready to sacrifice the son because he believed his God could raise him back up again. And the angel of the Lord came and stopped him. And he looked and back there, caught in a thicket by his horns, was a ram. God had provided the lamb for the sacrifice. And he began to tell about the love that the father and the son enjoyed. He began to tell about their great riches. And the family sitting there amazed. And the Bible comes down to verse number 58. This picture is number one, a picture of proposal and response. Every time you see him, he's making a proposal. He's making a proposal. The Bible says in verse 58, "And they called Rebekah and said unto her, 'Wilt thou go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go.'" She is going to marry Isaac and she's never met him. She's never seen him. They were not introduced on a blind date. They've not talked on the phone. She's going to marry this man and she's never seen him. Not one of you women in this building married your husband sight unseen. I don't know why y'all are so quiet and worried today. But when I met Jesus, the Holy Ghost came and He told me about the love of the Father, the sacrifice of the Son, the love of God, and He asked me that night, "Will you go? will you be saved? And I never met him. I was never formally introduced person to person. But that night I said on July the 13th, 1978, I will go. I want to be saved. Amen. Glory to God. And I made my decision. And I'm on my way to glory land. Amen. From that point on, guess what? Rebecca left everything behind. She took a few little servants with her. But her water pot and all her possessions, she left all that behind. She didn't need that old water pot that's battered and bruised and ugly. You ought to see who she's marrying. He's rich. He's got it all. She's going to be a new person, a new creature. She's not going to be the same old girl that she used to be. Hey, man, she's been made anew. Now listen, she left her water pot behind. Guess what? She starts following that servant who's going to take her to meet Isaac. Now how are they going to drink on the way? What are they going to do for water? What are they going to do for sustenance? I'll tell you what, the servant's going to provide. He's the one, Lord of God, he's got the big picture. We just need to follow him that's got the picture. You know what? That's who we need to follow. So we see a water pot of proposal and a water pot of response. Hey, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you said yes to Jesus? The book of John, chapter number 4. The book of John, chapter number 4. We see another picture in John chapter number 4. Verse number 4. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. And Jesus is walking. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Can you see her? She's got her pitcher, probably up on her shoulder. And since she's coming to draw water, her pitcher is empty. The Bible says it is the sixth hour. Means it's high noon. Now, it was the women's responsibility to draw water. They drew early, 6 o'clock in the morning, or late, 6 o'clock in the evening. But they didn't come in the heat of the day. But Jesus, at 12 o'clock noon, is sitting on that well. And guess what? This woman walks up, a Samaritan, at 12 o'clock noon, and there's Jesus sitting on the well, wearied and worn. And he looks at her and he says, when she walks up with an empty water pot, he says, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She said, why are we even talking? She said, you Jews think you're better than me? I think we're better than you. She said, she started arguing about race. Ain't it something? People come to church or start hearing the gospel, or they're asked the question, will you go, will you trust Christ? And they start discussing race. Divides our countries this morning. Hello. I do not care whether your skin is black, yellow, green, or white. It does not matter. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wast asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? He says, you know what? If you'd asked of me, I would have given you living water. She said, well, you ain't even got nothing to draw with. You don't have any possessions. You don't have a water pot. You don't have a bucket. You don't even own the well. Hey, let me tell you something, amen. People start coming in with their possessions. Well, I've got a bank account, and I've got this, and I've... Listen, I don't care how much you've got in your bank. You can't buy your way in. I've got my name on the church roll. You can't get in because your name's on the church roll. You've got to get in because you said yes to the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you get in. And so the Bible says that she began to trust her possessions. She began to trust her heritage and her ancestry. She said, "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" What about that? Some people would tell me, "Well, preacher, you don't know. But my so-and-so used to be a deacon here, and my so-and-so was a preacher here, and my so-and-so..." Listen, I don't care if your family donated to Windows and put every pew in here. You're not getting in on your works or on your ancestry. I don't care how great a prayer warrior your grandma was. I don't care if she did teach Sunday school class. I don't care if you're a Sunday school class teacher. You're not getting in based on what you do or who you're related to. You'll get in based on the merits of Jesus Christ, or you're not getting in. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water..." I'm sure he's pointing at that well. He said, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." She said, "I'm tired of going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth in my life. I want that living water." A lot of people want it. A lot of people want it. Jesus said to her, "Go call thy husband." You see, before you get living water, before you really get saved, He's got to deal with your sin. You've got to admit yourself a sinner. "Well, you see, preacher, that's just a problem. I'm better than so-and-so." I don't care, bless God, who you're better than. That's pride right there. That's a sin. He's wanting you to deal with your sin. So she said, "I don't have a husband." She said, "I have no husband." Which was not a lie. He said, "Thou hast well said, thou hast no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband." In other words, you've been married five times. Can you see her drop her head? I remember old Mays Jackson said he went to visit a little lady in the hospital. She looked up at him and she said, "Well, you know, preacher, you remind me of my fifth husband." He said, "Lord, have mercy, ma'am. How many husbands have you had?" She said, "Four." Now she's shacked up living with another man. A man that don't really love her. A man that will not give her his last name. She's shacked up with him. She's been looking for peace in her relationships. She can't find it. It's not satisfied her soul. She's come this well for one reason. She's thirsty. She needs something to satisfy her soul. Her race has not done it. Her possessions has not done it. Her ancestry has not done it. Hey, amen. Now, guess what? Her relationship has not done it. And she looks at him. And he's called out her sin. And the Bible says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now she's going to start talking religion. I wish I had a dollar for every person that started talking religion to me when we started talking about Jesus. She said, "I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what." Hello. "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When He cometh, He will tell us all things." She's still talking religion, ain't she? Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am He." Woo! She come to the well to get her a drink. Amen, because she's thirsty to fill up her water pot. Amen, He didn't just fill up her water pot. He gave her the well, amen. Made a difference in her life. Look what happened. Verse 28. "The woman then left her water pot and went into the city and said unto the men, Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" I submit to you that in Genesis, Rebecca left her water pot behind and followed the servant of God. all the way to meet the Son. I submit to you that this woman came and she left her water pot behind. She didn't even bother with getting it filled up because she got the well springing up in the everlasting life in her soul. And let me tell you what, after you say yes to Jesus and you get saved, you'll leave your old water pots of burdens and cares and all that stuff. You'll leave that stuff behind. And you know what you'll do? You'll get up and start telling people, come see a man that saved my soul. Come see a man that turned my life around. Come see a man named Jesus. Nobody ever loved me like Him. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. Come see this man. Glory to God. This is a picture. This is a picture of personal responsibility. We are to leave our water pots behind, and we are to go out and tell the world that Jesus saves. Who have you told this week? Ooh, it got quiet in here, didn't it? This woman's telling everybody. Tell you what, when you really get good and saved, you get revival in your heart, it starts springing up into you like artesian, amen? You want to go tell somebody. Amen. Well, the book of John, chapter number 13. I see another picture here. John chapter 13. Verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel therewith He was girded. Where do you think He got that water from? Where do you think He got that pitcher from? He picked that pitcher of water up, and He poured it out, and put it in a basin, and began to get down in front of His disciples, and started to wash their feet. Old Peter tried to stop Him. He said, don't just wash my feet, Lord. He said, wash my whole head and everything. Listen, Judas Iscariot was sitting right in that crowd, and he had his feet washed too. You can have your feet washed by Jesus and still not go to heaven if you don't come through the shed blood of Calvary's float. Where did that water come from? I think it come from Mark chapter number 14. I want to read about it real quick. Mark chapter 14. Preacher, you got me turning all over the Bible. Boy, the devil hates your Bible. He hates to hear its pages being turned. Turn with your Bible. Mark 14. I want you to see this. This is a picture of preparation and a picture of resources. Mark 14, verse number 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, His disciples said unto Him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? He sendeth forth two of His disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Can I say time out just for a second? When Rebekah said, I will go, and left her water pot behind, she began to follow the servant. Now how's she going to get from where she is across the desert and get over there to the promised land where Isaac's at and get married to the son? How's she going to get there? Because she's following Him that's got the well. That's the Holy Ghost. Now we see this other woman. She's left her water pot. She's got the well inside of her. The Holy Ghost moves inside us and makes His abode with us. And you leave your burdens and your cares behind and you go out praising the Lord full of joy. Thirdly, we see these two disciples. They said, now Lord, where are we going to have the Passover at? He said, I want you to go out into the city, and when you see a man with a pitcher of water, in other words, he's been to the well. He's filled his pitcher up. When you see him, follow him. You see, it's unusual to see a man toting water. That was a woman's job. She did that early in the morning or late in the evening. But he said, you go to the city. You just watch. When you see a man taking that pitcher full of water, follow him. Glory, hallelujah. I want to be behind him that's got the water, amen. And wheresoever you shall go in, say to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. In the evening he cometh with the 12. Here's Peter and John standing out of the city. They're just standing there. There he is. Let's just follow him. And wherever he comes to, starts to go in at, he says, the Master saith, where is the guest chamber? And he said, he's going to lead you right on in. He's going to take you to an upper room. Hey, the one we're following that's got the well, the pitcher, amen, he's going to take us to the upper room. Woo! In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Woo! When they get in there, amen, they look around, the upper room is already furnished. He's got the water that's going to be used to wash their feet. There's the unleavened bread. There's the grape juice, the fruit of the vine. There's all they need for the journey. Hey, I want to say something to you, church. See if you'll agree. If we'll just follow Him that's got the Word of God, that's the water pot, amen, the Spirit of God, He said, I've got all you need. It's already furnished. You don't need a thing. You just leave your water pot behind and follow Him that's got the pitcher. Well, glory to God. I see it one more time in John chapter number 2. We're done. John chapter number 2. We've seen a picture of proposal and response. A picture of personal responsibility. A picture of preparation and of resources. Our God has all we need. Who had been in there fixing that up? Had He laid it on somebody's heart? Or had He done it Himself? Don't care, but God provides, y'all. Where God guides, where you're following God, where God guides, God provides. Amen. John chapter 2. If you don't get anything else, get this. John 2. This is a picture of precious revelation. The third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they had wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. In other words, there were pots, 6 of them, set outside probably. They would have been used for washing feet, used for cleansing hands for the wedding guests. Now everybody's in the wedding, the wine is gone, and all they have is water pots that are empty because people's already washed their hands when they went in. Now these are probably dirty old pots, nasty beaten up looking things, sitting just outside the home. Jesus looks at them and sees those water pots that contain 2 or 3 firkins apiece. A firkin is 9 gallons, you can do the math. Jesus says unto them, fill the water pots with water. Well, that wasn't unusual. They had water in them before. Okay? Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus gives a command. Fill the water pots with water. Before you ever get a blessing, Jesus gives a command. You must be obedient. He gives you a proposal. Fill the water pots with water. And if you are obedient to respond, He'll work a miracle. Preacher, I don't believe it. Try Him and find out. He says, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. They didn't argue with Him. They don't say, that don't appeal to my intellect. That don't appeal to my reason. He said, okay, we'll fill them up. And He says unto them, draw out now. And bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Now understand, I'm not here to debate whether this is wine or not. Scripture says wine, but it's not intoxicating wine. You can look it up. It is the word onios. There's many different types of onios. Jesus is not there to put wine to somebody's mouth and get them drunk. You may argue all you want to, but it won't work. There are many different types of soda. I can say to you, let's go get a soda. You might get a Pepsi. You might get a Coke. You might get a Mountain Dew. You might get a sodas. There's many different types of onios. Jesus is not providing intoxicating drink. This is fresh fruit of the vine. Hey, He says you put water in there and I'm going to pour you out. When you draw out, I'm going to turn it into wine. You know the first miracle that Moses did? He turned water into blood. Or God did for him. That's judgment. The Bible says the law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses' first miracle turned the water into blood. Jesus' first miracle turned the water into wine. Joy and hope and satisfaction. Amen? You realize what this means? This means that you and I are water pumps. We're battered, bruised, beaten, not worth a whole lot. But he said, filled up with water. What do you mean, preacher? Fill yourself up with the Holy Ghost. Get filled with the Spirit. Get filled up with the Word of God. And he said, and you know what I'll do? Wherever you go, I'll let you pour out the gospel. You'll pour out peace. You'll pour out hope. You won't get out cussing and telling dirty jokes anymore. You get filled up with the Holy Ghost, and what do you get filled up with? I'm going to ladle out joy in somebody else's life. Hey, anybody here want to be a good witness? You want to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Get filled up with the Holy Ghost. Get filled up with the Word of God. And just watch. When you open your mouth, watch how you'll feel it. You know why you cuss the way you do? You know why you talk the way you do? Because you spend too much time in the world. You need to spend more time in the Word. You need to spend more time in Jesus Christ. He said, in me you shall have peace. But in this world you'll have tribulation. That's why you cuss the way you do. Why you get mad. Why you get frustrated. Why you're afraid to witness. But if you'll get in the Word of God, amen, He'll ladle out a blessing to somebody. But it means more than that to me. Because God spoke to me about it. The Bible said, verse 11, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. Now to me, there is a miracle in this old pot. There's a miracle in it. Jesus said, you fill it, according to the Scripture, you fill it with water. You put in there the things the Bible tells you to put in there, and He said, and I'll pour out a blessing. There is a miracle when you respond in obedience. Now, church, I'm going to tell you something today. The Lord is giving you an opportunity for something special today. This beginning of miracles. Are you interested in a blessing? You've tried everything else. You've been to the doctors. You've talked to the preacher. You went to the deacons. You went to the altar. You've tried everything else. Why not give Jesus a try today? He said, I want to tell you something. He told me this. He said, I want you to tell the church there are things to put in this water pot filled up with, and I'm going to turn it into a blessing. Number one, it's a beautiful revelation. Number one, He says, put in the pot your sin. Don't you look at me like you don't sin. You know that you tell white lies. You know that you gossip. You know that you lust. You know you're unfaithful. Not maybe to your husband or wife, but to the things of God. Amen? We're a sinful people. Hey, there is none righteous. No, not one. Teacher, I come here for you to tell me how good I am and to feel better about myself. I'm here to try to tell you how to get a blessing. Just agree with God. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Agree with God. I'm a sinner. He said, confess to me your sin. Confess to me your sin. And I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You give me your sin, I'll give you my son. I'm glad I traded the eye for the Son. Amen? The sin for the Son. He said, you put in your sin, I'll pour you out salvation. You pour in your sin, I'll pour you out forgiveness. Anybody need forgiveness? Well, preacher, I can just go to the cross for that. Well, I'll tell you something. There's a few things I've confessed, and I throwed it in the pot. Well, I'm afraid you'll read it, preacher. Lord God, I'd never do that. That's between you and God. Number one, you put in your sin, He'll pour you out forgiveness, salvation, deliverance. Number two, put in your prayers. You got a prayer request? Listen, it must be unanswered, because if it was answered, you wouldn't have a request. You have an unanswered prayer request. He said, I want you to put your unanswered prayer request in the pot. Whatever it is, put it in. And you know what I'm going to do? When you fill it up with your prayer request, I'm going to pour you out the answer. You didn't like that, did you? Got real quiet. Preacher, I don't believe God can do that. Hey, if He can turn water into wine, He can turn your prayers into answers. He said, call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Well, preacher, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. Then you ain't desperate enough. You don't want it enough. Amen? Number three, He says, put in your problems. Anybody ever had a problem that you couldn't solve? He said, you put in your problems, fill it up with all your problems. I'll pour you out the solution. Ask you a question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham, I'm going to give you a promised son. But Lord, I'm 100 years old. There's no way that can happen. Sarah said, I'm 90. I mean, I'm past childbearing age. What can an old woman do? God said, just put it in the water pot. Watch what I'll do, amen. And He poured out a blessing to her and answered her problems with His solution. Number four. You're looking at me funny like you don't believe it. And let me tell you something. I don't really care if you don't believe it. Because I want you to know that I do believe it. I know what He can do. I've experienced His power. I know what He's done in the last few weeks. And if you want to sit and scoff and laugh and look at me like you've lost your ever-loving mind, you go right ahead. But it ain't going to hinder me, brother. It ain't going to hinder me, sister, because I know what God's done. Number four, He told me, He said, put in your sorrows. Any of you got sorrows? Your family turned against you? You got some relationship that's in a state of disrepair? He said, you got death come to your home? Hey, the preacher's words didn't help you? You know what you need to do? You need to put your sorrows in the pot. God said, I'll pour you out comfort. What do you mean? He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. He says in 2 Corinthians, He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. He said, you just go ahead and put your sorrows in here. I'll pour you out comfort. Anybody need His presence in the middle of the night when your husband's arm around you can't comfort you? Your wife's kisses can't comfort you. It cannot change your circumstance. You're hopeless. You're helpless. You feel so defeated. God said, just bring it to Me and put it in the pot. I'm going to turn this trial into a blessing. It may send you to your knees, but watch what I'm going to do when you get it out of your hands into Mine. Your problem is you're tired of carrying it around. It's killing you. Give it to Him and trust Him with it. Number five, He said, put in your needs. Anybody got needs? Boy, I do. I've got needs. He said, put your needs in here. And He said, what will He do, preacher? He said, you put your needs in the water pot and you just leave it there. She left her water pot behind. Put your needs in there and watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour you out a supply. He said, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Sixthly, you need to put in your future. A lot of you young people, you're going to school. You don't know what the future holds for you. Some of you, you're newlyweds. Some of you have been married for a long time. You don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what sickness. You don't know what awaits you. Whether it's cancer, whatever it is. But God said, give Me your future. And I'll give you My eternity. Did He not say? He said, My sheep might know My voice. Amen? And He said unto them, He said, I will give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Amen. You know what you ought to do? Let this be your life. It's blank. You don't know where it's going, where it's leading. Would you just sign your name to the bottom of it and say, Darren Waldrop. And give it to God and say, You fill in the blanks, Lord. You tell me where to go. You tell me what to preach. You tell me where to work. You tell me who to marry. You tell me what to do. Hey, I'm not. Who's a running this thing anyway? Is it you or him? If you're really surrendered like you ought to be, you wouldn't have a problem, not one problem, trusting Him. God said there's some things that you need to put in that water pot and you need to fill it up, and I'm going to pour you out a blessing. And I believe this morning, I believe with all my heart, God told me, He said, you go in there and you tell your church if they would respond in obedience, I'd pour out a miracle. I'm talking to a group of people that have seen oodles and oodles of people get saved. And you sat back here and went, how in the world? What on earth? I'm talking to a people who stepped out on a faith to double your building in size. And God already filled it up. I'm talking to a people that serve a miracle working God. Do you still believe Him or not? You stand to your feet.